grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
First chapter of Galatians includes a brief biography of St. Paul and a justification of his ministry. Kind of an unusual thing if you think about it. But he does it not to draw attention to himself. He's not writing his memoirs. But he does it in response to a threat to the gospel. Paul tells his own story of how the gospel worked in him because it's a story of grace, and one which parallels our lives in some important ways. After Paul had preached in the region of Galatia and brought a group of people to Christ, another group followed after him as Paul continued on his journeys. A group of legalistic Jewish Christians came along, and they taught a teaching that has cropped up in the church again and again and again, that the law still has a controlling force in the power of the believer, and it's a necessary condition that the individual follow it before they can be a Christian. One must, they were claiming, first be a Jew, and then they could be a Christian. So if a Gentile was to convert, a male would need to be circumcised. The person would need to keep all the ceremonial law. They would need to change their home to a kosher home. They would need to keep the festivals and all the rest. And then, keeping all those things as they went along, then they could follow Jesus. They presented all these laws which Christ himself fulfilled and completed as if they were still a present reality, and really, as if Christ had come for nothing, as if we could still keep the law. And in the wake of their message, well, they were undermining Paul's authority and preaching and ministry, and far more importantly, they were causing the Galatians to doubt whether they were really Christians at all. And so St. Paul had to come along and not only overcome his own past, but in his writing and preaching, he also had to overcome Israel's past once again, the same way that Jesus had done. And so the apostle teaches them what the gospel is and what it isn't. I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not a man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul contrasts the true gospel with other so-called gospels, something he's already raised earlier in the letter, with man's gospel. And that contrast is a critical one, one that's just as vital for us today as it was for those first century Christians in Galatia. For to understand the gospel, it's helpful for us to reflect on what it isn't. You know, many Christian teachers have noted that Christianity is unique among the world's religions in the method it proposes for salvation. All other religions propose some method for human beings to work, to reconcile themselves to God, to achieve enlightenment, to reach the higher state. It's on them, and they give instructions on how to do it, whether they be simple or, more frequently, very challenging. Ways to save oneself or to lift oneself up by one's own spiritual bootstraps. Now, it may be through an abundance of good works, through a life of renunciation and deprivation, through sacrifice, through karma and reincarnation, through just doing your best and being sincere. This is the primal religion of human beings. It's the answer, let's be honest, that we would give if left to our own devices to come up with a way to be right with God. It's so popular that many Christians think that it's Christianity as well. Do what God tells you to do. Do your best, and hope that God graves on a curve. But a me-centered plan of salvation, if we're honest, is just hopeless. Because only by denying the reality and extent of our brokenness and by inflating the value of what we do in response, can this possibly make any sense? But it's based on a falsehood. Never enough. The gospel I preach to you is not man's gospel, Paul says. But what would it have looked like if he had tried that? What would the gospel of Paul had been? Well, we know the answer. It looks like Paul before he met Jesus. Paul shows us his embarrassing past so that we know that the gospel isn't him. Because here is a man who was utterly devoted to his faith before Jesus, so devoted that he stood witness to the first martyr. He persecuted Christians and tried personally to destroy this religion that he then thought was false. He was well educated, advanced beyond his peers in Judaism, zealous for the traditions of his fathers, which in the way he's saying it means the traditions of the Pharisees, really what we would know today as the Jewish Talmud. He was an expert in man's ways of thinking, but that was a dead-end street. He knew the traditions of Judaism well, but he didn't know the gospel of God. And yet his personal story shows us that he was not the source of the gospel. No, if it were up to his own religious way of thinking, Paul never would have heard the name of Jesus. We never would have heard the name of Jesus, for it would have been destroyed. Of course, Paul's not the only example of one proposing a different gospel. We see it in legalistic preachers and teachers and believers who speak of only of obedience and not of the work of Christ. We hear it in voices that transform the message of the gospel to be merely a set of teachings on social justice, as important as justice is. We see it in those who equate all religions as if there were no difference. We see it in those who would equate the Christian faith with politics. We see it in Christians who think they've overcome sin, that they've reached perfection. We don't have to look that far away, though, do we? We see it in ourselves, for the old nature in us is always looking for ways to push the gospel aside and replace God's gospel with ourselves. Man's gospel doesn't work. But thanks be to God, it's not up to that. Not to Paul and his gospel or to us and ours. Despite all his corruption, Paul was called by God. God set him apart before he was born, as it says in verse 15. And he says that God called him by grace. Echoing teaching that he applies to all Christians in other sections of Scripture, Paul speaks of eternal election. And he does it in the way that God has always intended that to be heard. Paul didn't choose to follow Jesus. In truth, no one does. But God is just so gracious that even before he created the universe, he had already chosen Paul and you and me, chosen us to be his own through Jesus. And in God's good timing, he calls those that he has chosen to faith and brings them to faith by the working of the Holy Spirit. Now, St. Paul had that happen in a rather spectacular way, didn't he? He received a revelation of Jesus. Not, he says, a revelation from Jesus, though that would be true. He speaks of a revelation of Jesus. For the risen Lord himself appeared to Paul while he was traveling to persecute Christians. And Jesus himself put an end to that behavior. And he called Paul to faith, and he transformed his heart, and he changed the direction of his life because God had chosen him. And it's always been so. We would not have guessed the gospel. It must be revealed to us by the Spirit of God. And yet from eternity, God chose you to be his own. knowing your sin, knowing your rebellion and your corruption and your hatred and your failures, yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us. God sent his only begotten Son in the flesh to bear our sin, to die in our place, to reconcile us to God and to give us life eternal in his kingdom. He sends us his Holy Spirit to call us into faith, to keep us in faith, to equip us. This is God's gospel, and it couldn't be more different than man's religious schemes. It's from God, and God has done it all for you. We saw it this morning. We saw it as God took Jameson, who was having his own little conversation with all of us the whole time. We saw him as God took the initiative, and God called him as his own, and put a new name on him, and adopted him into his eternal family. We saw it this morning, as each of us remembered our baptism in the invocation, and we heard God's word of forgiveness again. We hear it in the word, and we see it at the table as we receive Christ. This is God's gospel. God does the work because he knows that we would fail, that this is our only hope. The gospel is not man's. It's God's gospel. And yet, God raises up Christians to share the word in a variety of ways. And one of the ways he does that is through pastors. In Romans 10, 14 to 15, St. Paul says, "How are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach if they are not sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." St. Paul was one of those pastors called by God to proclaim God's gospel, and through him countless people were blessed, and there were many more. Last week, St. Paul's recognized the 25th anniversary of my ordination, and some very humbling things were said, and I'm truly thankful, and I'm blessed to serve you. Always cognizant that it's God's work that is recognized, for I'm only a steward of his grace, a grace which I need just as much as any other, and we share in that same forgiveness. And so it probably seems strange, if you've looked ahead in the bulletin, to have this same recognition a week later for Pastor Espinoza, but that's just repeating history. That's the way it was 25 years ago. The first entry in my log of pastoral activities is participating in the ordination of Alfonso Espinoza on June 9th, 1991. Hard to believe, isn't it? He was ordained into the office of the Holy Ministry in the same congregation where he first joined the Lutheran Church, also Nina's home congregation, in Delano, California. We were trying to remember that day, but I can only imagine it was a very hot one. It always is in summertime. Converts often exhibit a strong passion that may seem brighter than those who have grown up within a church. They're often blessed to more readily recognize the contrast. The joy of the gospel purely preached, the freedom that it brings, the hope that we have in Christ. Things that all Christians do in fact experience, but converts can often see a refreshing contrast that's become sadly commonplace to those who are surrounded by it. For they see what God has done in a bright way. And Paul certainly felt this, and so does our pastor Espinoza. He recognizes the presence of the gospel and the freedom that it brings. The joy of a God who cares for you on every level. And he recognizes the various callings that God has given to him and sees God's hand and blessing in them all. Among many other things, he's a baptized child of God, adopted into the family of our Heavenly Father. He's a devoted and loving husband to Tracy. I think maybe giddy is probably the best word. still as excited and enthusiastic as the day they were married, a proud and dedicated father to 8 children, a pastor in Christ Church, serving congregations in Covina, California, the Woodlands, Texas, and of course, pastor at St. Paul's in Laguna and now in Irvine, one who truly cares about his flock, as so many of us have seen, coming to homes, catechizing individually, caring for everyone's needs without growing weary. He's a strong advocate of Lutheran education, earning himself 2 additional graduate degrees after seminary, 1 in apologetics and a PhD in theology, systematics, the high point of theology, my own degree. He's a beloved and faithful adjunct professor at Concordia. In fact, I remember well the day that we brought him along to a graduation luncheon for a group of nurses who had never met him. They had only had him online. And when they heard his name, how excited they were to be in the same room as the man who had touched them with the gospel of Jesus. He's a strong supporter of our Lutheran high schools and of other educational avenues. He's a supporter of the larger church, serving as a member of the Board for National Mission of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's a respected leader among pastors here in the Pacific Southwest District, giving support and aid to those who struggle in many ways that are unseen but are so deeply needed. He's a writer. He's one who gives passionately to all he's involved in. He's my friend. And there's so much more that could be said, but our pastor would be among the first to say that the gospel that he preaches is not Alfonso's gospel, but it's God's gospel. He rightly sees himself first as a Christian who needs to receive. He knows that he is also a sheep in Christ's flock, and he regularly and gladly receives the gospel from others, including other pastors, to him. And that's good, because both of your called pastors and each one of us here are redeemed by Christ, but sinful human beings, called to preach his gospel, not our own. And yet God's power is made perfect in weakness. It is God who works through sinful, broken people, and God's word endures. By God's plan, we receive his gospel through the ministry of forgiven and called servants. St. Paul was transformed from unbelief to belief, from a persecutor to an apostle. Your pastors share the same struggles as you, yet we are here to proclaim God's gospel faithfully. It is his word that you receive, Christ's gospel, and that gospel transforms you just as it transforms Paul and everyone else who hears it. Like Paul, God has chosen us before birth to be his own. Like Paul, each one of us has been called by grace, called by God's gospel. Like Paul, we have encountered the risen Christ. Probably not in a roadside experience as Paul was, but nonetheless, each of us have been blessed and encountered personally the risen Christ as he speaks to you in his word. As he speaks his word of absolution over you, you heard Christ this morning. As he baptizes using the hand of someone else. As he feeds you with his body and blood from the hand of one who also needs to receive it. As he sends you forth with his blessing. And as he sends you forth, called by God, that you share God's gospel with others. But he doesn't send you alone. He promises to be there and to speak through each one of us, and his Spirit will bring the yield. This is what God does through his gospel. Christ does it all, and we are blessed in him. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.